The Hunt, Gather, Grow, Eat Podcast, Episode 2, A View of Thanksgiving. Hello, and welcome to the Hunt, Gather, Grow, Eat Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Akers. This is episode number 2, and today I wanted to talk a little bit about the first Thanksgiving, namely because Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and probably this podcast, unfortunately, is going to get out a little bit too late. So you probably might be listening to this after Thanksgiving if you are getting this on iTunes, and if you're getting it from my blog, you'll hear it the day of or the day before. So I apologize about that. I waited a little too long to submit this podcast to iTunes, and that's what happens when you procrastinate. But back to the point, I wanted to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, namely the first Thanksgiving and how it kind of relates to us hunter-gatherer-grower-eaters. It's misunderstood a lot, and this is going to be a history lesson, and usually the shows won't be like that. Usually they'll be a little bit more practical, but if anyone knows from my Self-Sufficient Gardener podcast, I like to talk about history every once in a while and the history of our foods and things like that, so we kind of understand where they come from a little bit better and what the whole deal is with them. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, and as I got to research, I realized that the first Thanksgiving is so misunderstood. Everyone thinks that, you know, the colonists, which of course came from England in 1620 and arrived basically around Massachusetts, a little village named Plymouth, of course. But everyone misunderstands it. They think the colonists came and, you know, they sit down with the Indians and they had, you know, turkey and mashed potatoes and things like that. But anyone who kind of has done their research knows that that's just not the case. There's some people that have done their research and they've kind of took it the opposite direction and said, you know, nothing was true. But, you know, I kind of have a different view. Mine's somewhere in the middle. I think some of these researchers have gone a little too far and they're just not creative enough in their thinking. We'll talk a little bit about just some of the documentation and what they probably ate at their first Thanksgiving and how that kind of changed throughout the year. So let's talk a little bit about the foods that probably were not served at the first Thanksgiving. And I'm even going to mention some foods that I think probably were, but people say probably weren't. There's a reason for that, and I'll get into that in a minute. So the first food that always comes up in debate is the turkey, which is, you know, the cornerstone of our modern Thanksgiving dinner. So turkey, everyone says, was not served at the first Thanksgiving. I can't hardly see that that's the case. You know, I mean, I don't know how they can say that definitively. It could have been, it could have not have been. There's no mention specifically in the documentation of turkey being served. But there is mention of the word fowl and wild fowl. And in fact, in one of the accounts, I can't remember the guy, I think it's Winslow, was the guy that put out the letter, the account of how the Thanksgiving went down, the first one, is that he said that the men went out fowling. Which, you know, it could have been any wild bird. It could have been, you know, quail, grouse. I don't know if grouse are present in New England or not, but it could have been virtually just about any kind of wild flying game that you could have found in New England at the time. Probably had some ducks and probably had some geese in there mixed in, but I don't know how anyone can definitively say that turkey was not served. So, it could have been. It could not have been. It's kind of up in the air for debate. Probably there was duck and probably there was geese, and in all likelihood, turkey could have possibly made its way into the meal as well. The other thing that comes up is corn, either in the form of popcorn or you know, kind of what we think of today, modern, you know, just the modern sweet corn off the cob or on the cob as we eat in our modern Thanksgiving dinners. Corn was probably served at the first Thanksgiving, but it was probably not in the manner or not in the form that we're used to. It was probably from cornmeal, because obviously corn, even if they'd had sweet corn at the time, at this time of the year, corn is well out of harvest for Massachusetts. In fact, you know, you've been eating sweet corn and stuff probably back in, you know, June or July or August maybe at the latest. But probably what they had, some kind of cornmeal concoction, which could have been something like polenta or corn pudding. It could have been hominy, something like that. But it definitely was not the sweet corn and stuff we're used to serving at our modern Thanksgiving dinners. And the other one that comes up that I think is kind of, it's a little bit like turkey, you know, they give the reasons why it probably wasn't served, and that's cranberries. cranberry sauce in general. And the reason is they say, there's different accounts. Some say they didn't have sugar at the colonies at this time. Some say they did, and it was expensive. Some say they did, and it was, they'd ran out. Cranberries are very tart. They're evergreen vine or evergreen bush that grows kind of really close to the ground. The other reason is cranberries probably were a little bit out of harvest at the time. I believe you harvest them kind of later in the year, and so they probably weren't in harvest. But however, like I said, there's a lack of creativity and creative thinking when it comes to researchers thinking about the first Thanksgiving. The Native Americans frequently dried fruits, and one of their staple foods was cranberries, and they could have very easily dried cranberries and reconstituted them or even eaten them dry at the first Thanksgiving. So it's very possible that cranberries could have been there at the first Thanksgiving. You maybe used to stuff the birds, maybe just eaten as a side dish or what have you. But again, they can't say definitively that they weren't there, because there is they were native to North America, and they were probably present in the Indians' diet at the time. Now, one that I can say pretty much the researchers have gotten correct is potatoes. There was probably no presence of potatoes at the first Thanksgiving, either in sweet potato or the common regular potato form that we think of today. The reason being is potatoes were in pretty much two places at the time. They were in Europe, which they had kind of been brought back from South America, where both the sweet potato and the potato were native, or they were obviously in England or France or Spain. The explorers had brought those back to Europe at the time, and they're kind of being studied. They weren't really being eaten widely, but they were being studied at least. So we know they were in England, Spain, and countries like that that had actually went to had traded with each other and had went to South America and Central America and places like that. So probably no sweet potatoes at, or regular potatoes at the first Thanksgiving. They just weren't around. Another one is pumpkin pie, which we is as much a staple as turkey is of our modern Thanksgiving dinner. And pumpkin pie was probably not available at the time, because they didn't have the ingredients pretty much to make the crust. That's debatable, I guess, in my mind. I'm not really sure that they did or didn't. Probably one thing they did have that was very similar to pumpkin was squash. And again, probably wouldn't be in a pie. They probably would have just roasted it and kind of eaten it out of the hull, out of the skin, like we sometimes do with things like butternut squash today. As we know, the Indians, the Wampanoag, which were actually the Native Americans that were encountered at the first Thanksgiving, were big proponents of the Three Sisters Garden, which is where you plant corn and then beans and then squash around it. So it's very likely that they did have some squash at the first Thanksgiving, but it probably wouldn't have been very sweet, and it wouldn't have been in the form of a pie like pumpkin pie is today. So some things that were native to the area that probably were served, but again, not really a very hard and fast documentation of that. And the first big one has to be deer. We know that venison was served at the first Thanksgiving, because it actually mentions in Winslow's account in his letter that the Wampanoag chief, Massasoit, brought five deer that the Native Americans had killed. So that was brought to the first Thanksgiving. So oddly enough, while turkey is debatable, we know they almost certainly had venison at the first Thanksgiving. A few more things that they probably had that actually come from an account of a guy named Bradford. He doesn't actually talk about the Thanksgiving, but he sent a letter at the time that kind of was around the same time period, the same kind of time of the year. So it kind of told about what they had to eat. So it's a general good assumption to assume that they had these same things to eat. And most of that was actually things from the ocean, cod and bass, obviously lobsters, which were and are still big in New England at the time. So things from the sea, eel, mussels, oysters, You know, anything they could have gathered from the seashore, from the sea itself. You know, these guys were big fishermen. They lived in England at the time, and, you know, they came across and settled on the coast. So they kind of knew their way around a fishing boat. They kind of knew their way around, you know, the things they could gather from the sea. I mentioned corn that they probably had, although it wasn't in the modern form. They could have had some of the root crops that were native at the time, maybe like parsnips, onions, wild garlic. I think wild garlic was native in North America. Don't quote me on that. They could have very easily had dried beans. I mentioned a Three Sisters garden, and I mentioned every component but the beans, but they very easily could have had you know, dried beans that they had reconstituted and cooked, which I hate. That's literally the only food I will not eat is beans. And I'll eat peas and I'll eat green beans, but I will not eat dried beans. They just do something to me. So I mentioned fruit, cranberries, but probably they had dried blueberries as well. They could have had dried grapes, raisins. They could have reconstituted these or eaten them dried. And then, of course, the old standby for the forager and gatherer, which is nuts. Nuts are very common in North America, obviously, no matter where you go, just about. Things like acorns, they could have had acorn flour, which might have been a way they made pumpkin pie. I don't know. No, probably not. But Indians were known to make flour from acorn nuts after they had steeped them in water. Basically, what you do is you put the acorn, you crack them, you put the meat in water, and you keep steeping it until all the tannins are pulled away from the nut. So they did that a lot. Hickory nuts could have been available, walnuts, things like that, that are pretty common to New England. So that's kind of a little bit about the foods that were served and that were present. I hope I didn't miss anything that's a modern food that we maybe thought of as a Thanksgiving food today that maybe they talked about back then. I don't think I missed anything, though. a little bit about the feast itself. And, you know, some myths and misconceptions. The first thing I want to talk about, this is really the funny thing when you think about it, is that the Wampanoag, the Native Americans, were, they did this all the time. This was just a general feast. This was, you know, Thanksgiving to them was every day. They literally thanked, you know, whatever creator they believed in or whatever, every day when they ate, because every meal was a gift to them. So probably they looked at these white people and as odd, because, I'm not saying the white people even thought that this was, you know, called it Thanksgiving or anything at the time, but, you know, this wasn't a special event for the Wampanoag, except that they did this all the time. Kind of a weird thing there. There was no evidence that the Native Americans, the Wampanoag, were invited, but it probably, So probably they met up all the time through, I believe his name was Squanto, which was their interpreter, their Wampanoag guy that knew how to speak English and could communicate back and forth. But just some other things that were interesting about the first Thanksgiving is it lasted for pretty much 3 days that they entertained and feasted the Wampanoag. One thing that they said they did I thought was really funny was that they, Winslow called it exercising their arms, which probably meant that they, you know, they had shooting contests, probably with the Native Americans with the bows, and the English probably let them shoot the muskets at the time and things like that. So probably a pretty interesting time altogether. It's kind of, like I mentioned, kind of weird. We pick out this one specific celebration because probably the Wampanoag did this all the time, and they probably even had, you know, other occasions. But I think probably just because the historical accounts say that these colonists had a pretty rough go at it, that probably this was kind of a special event for them because they didn't feel like they'd probably, you know, make it too much longer without you know, some help or some intervention. So. Anyway, so that's this first episode, first long episode, I guess, of Hunt, Gather, Grow, Eat podcast. I hope it's been informative, and like I said, not everyone will be like this. I'll probably talk about some, you know, just general how-to information on some other things, but occasionally there will be a show in about history and, you know, where our food comes from and where our traditions come from, because I'm real big on the traditional thing, too, as well. So, hope it's been an informative podcast, and I hope you tune in again. This is Jason Akers for the Hunt, Gather, Grow, Eat podcast. For more information, visit our site at huntgathergroweat.com. For questions or comments, email me at jason@huntgathergroweat.com.